Welcome to My Heart Songs podcast number 61, Inviting Intimacy, part 3. Life is a picture postcard. What images come to mind for you when you think of loving, healthy intimacy? I remember my grandfather never leaving or entering the house without kissing my grandmother and saying something like, "How is my darling wife today?" I remember my in-laws visiting in the 1980s, retired with some resources and free of child-rearing and work life, waking up full of enthusiasm about what they might do together that day for joy. I remember loving glances from across the room from various couples I've known who have been married for 30-plus years and still appreciate and affirm each other. And growing up in a large extended Italian family, physical touch, hugs, and kisses was an always present expression of love between men, between women, and men and women. So these beacons of possibility inspire me to deepen intimacy with those I love, not only my wife, but my daughters and close friends. In the last two podcasts, I've mostly focused on dealing with conflict because my own experience tells me that doing so skillfully is critical. Stuff gets dealt with rather than hidden in the proverbial emotional closet or swept under the "we can't talk about that" rug. I believe that the principles I outlined help us to connect more deeply with each other. When you most want to run is when you most need to stay. Responsibility is to be taken, not assigned to the other. And empathize first, then correct or offer advice. All make good sense. And the regular practice of making neutral observations, followed by sharing my feelings, my need, and a possible request, all based on nonviolent communication or NVC teachings, really help make progress when dealing with thorny issues. Two other notions I've found useful to create intimacy are the love flash and learning the other's primary language of love. It's very helpful to have a signal between two intimates, something simple, even funny perhaps, to remind each other in the heat of the moment that their love is strong and will weather the current storm. It might be pausing to put your hand on your heart and then blowing a kiss, or making a dove face and cooing. Creative imagination has free rein here. The point is that it is a reminder of the deeper currents between you, which are always there, even when they seem hard to access because of conflict. The five languages of love, first outlined in a 1992 book by Gary Chapman, include words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. His notion was that we each have a primary one that really makes us feel loved, though most people enjoy all of them. At the time, it was a revolutionary concept, simple to understand and keep at the forefront of one's attention. Do you know what your top two are? What about your partner? One thing I've noticed is that often we ask our partners to change in a certain way, but then forget to observe and affirm that they have. This might be extended to anything they do that deepens our intimacy. Seeing, hearing, appreciating, and affirming them, that makes them feel good about the effort they've offered. As I continue to explore various ideas about what fosters and invites intimacy, a few more seem important that are really about our internal work, a sort of opening the gates, removing inner obstacles to allow intimacy to flow. The first of these is to connect with my own needs daily. In an earlier podcast entitled Curing the Disease to Please, I focused on the challenges of creating healthy boundaries, how many of us are habituated to tuning into the needs of others while ignoring or minimizing our own, how we may have to claim our yes, no, and maybe. So it is a great intimacy practice. We have to start with ourselves, yes, to check in and see, what am I needing? Right now, do I seek connection, autonomy, pleasure, power, attention, meaning, something related to my physical well-being? Do I need to lively up myself, be more authentic, experience harmony? Some of these needs I can focus upon and then manifest alone, while others require input and cooperation from intimates. The second is to face my fears about intimacy when they arise with transparent trust, be authentic and honest with myself, and then express that clarity or confusion with my partner. There's always a choice with fear, self-acceptance and surrender, or shame and self-blame. I think it's obvious which is more empowering and likely to help us move through the fear more skillfully, inviting and allowing support from my partner and others. The final piece I believe is quite relevant to the discussion is to take time to mourn what is challenging or not working well in a relationship. Give myself space to connect with my sadness and frustration, and to talk with others, requesting that they just listen or ask questions and not attempt to fix anything. The touchstones for transcendent intimacy are many, and as with any change process, it helps to focus on just one or two until they become more embodied. I keep them written on my fridge to remind me of how important conscious, loving communication is in deepening intimate relationships. And as the Buddha reminds us, believe nothing, no matter where you read it or who has said it, not even if I have said it, unless it agrees with your own reason and your own common sense. Thanks again for listening, and remember, your friends and family can sign up at myheartsongs.org.